Welcome to Armageddon After Party, a beacon of hope in a dark, dark world. I'm your host, the lovely and talented Dick Loverboy, here as always with my two boys in the bunker, Mr. Pig Roast, and the Reverend Florist himself, Dick or Not.
It's John!
I'm not gonna lie, two boys in the bunker sounds like gay porn.
That's okay. I will have to say that the pig roast nickname is catching on, I think.
Yeah?
I got yelled at downtown Athens. I was called pig roast.
That's right.
Hey, pig roast! And I'm like looking around like, what the hell?
And the funny thing was, downtown on Saturday, there was a big pig roast that was happening, and
I found that out.
Be confusing to folks here trying to get in touch with the pig roasts. So.
That's right.
This Saturday, of course, we had all weekend, I suppose, we had the Twilight Bike Race here in beautiful Athens, Georgia.
Yes, we did.
And it was quite the event, as it always is.
It is an event. I never found out who won any of the races.
I don't even know who's racing.
Me either. People on bikes.
Yeah, lots of bikers. We had the
shit's crazy, man. That shit is intense. Like, I walked all around that whole thing.
Yeah.
I was by myself for a lot of it, but yeah, like when you come up near the start finish line, they've got all these tents, and then where the pace car comes by.
Yeah.
And he's stopping and like getting people in, getting people out, and I don't know how can you get we need to get a ride in the fucking pace car next year.
Yeah, I'm not sure what you have to do to be able to ride in it, but
I don't either, because there was one guy there that was kinda like in charge of that, stopping the car and everything. And people were just walking up to him and it was looking like, hey man, I'd like to ride, and he was like, oh, okay, I'll get you in a minute. That's what it looked like. So I should have just walked up to the guy and be like, hey man, can I get in that ride? But we need to get in the pace car.
For sure. And this is the first year I remember them having a car as a pace car.
No, they did it last year too.
Really?
Yeah. I think they've done it a few years.
Gotcha.
Seems like it would add a level of complication because, as you were saying, they do open up like the fence for parts of the track and they let people, because they've got...
Oh, it's all fucked up, man.
What, how many blocks of downtown like blocked off into an oval bike track?
It's 80 laps, a mile course, right?
It's an entire mile? Well, I guess I don't know. It seems like... You know, what Atlanta Fulton County. What's the motor speedway? Atlanta Motor Speedway? That's a half mile track, right? And that's huge.
Is it? Is it a half mile?
I think that's a half mile. And
okay, well, then I'm wrong then. Maybe it's a...
I mean, it's bigger than a quarter mile because it's bigger than a regular track and field track. I would say it's probably a half mile.
Maybe anyway, that's what it is.
Anyway, the point being, they have to so people can get to the bars and stuff that are inside of the oval, like they have to open up the track every now and then let people through. And it seems like the pace car would just add a whole nother level of complication to that. It just kind of spreads the pack out farther. But, I mean, it also, like, you like look up and miss a motorcycle coming at you, but if there's a Dodge Charger brightly painted bearing down on you, it might really make you hurry pretty well.
It doesn't, though. So many times, man, they actually had to stop part of one of the races because fuckers, they let people cross at the wrong time and didn't get across. I think it was in one of the women's races. Did you see it right there in front of nowhere?
A wreck?
No, it wasn't a wreck. There was a wreck in the men's race right there at the theater. What? But right there where they were crossing Washington Street and Lumpkin, that's where the bikers had to actually stop because there were like a group of people trying to cross right there. They let them go through at one of those crosswalks and they had to stop.
That was terrible timing. Do you know if that was the men's or women's race?
It was a women's race.
Early.
Because they had several different ones, right?
Well, there are two main races. The end of the day, on Saturday, the big women's race and the men's race.
So I guess it was the women's race.
The big women's race.
The big women race.
Well, there were other kinds of events and races going on all weekend, but that all culminated into the two big races, I should say, men and women, on Saturday evening.
Yeah.
Yeah, wrecks in both men's and women's, actually, in the same spot there, right at the corner.
Oh, really? Right. I just missed, like, I turned my back on the men's wreck. I was standing right there, and then I'd, like, turned around looking at something, and when I looked back, there was just, they had a guy on a stretcher.
Yeah. It happened on the corner in front of the theater?
Yeah.
Yeah, the men's wreck happened early in the race, and the women's wreck had happened way late. And they didn't have any bales of hay on the corners of
those big barriers
this year. It's the first time I remember not having bales of hay. And they had the barriers there, the plastic barriers. But both wrecks I saw happened right before the barriers. So they actually slammed into the metal.
Oh, God.
Like, bent, crowd bent.
Yeah, he hit it hard, apparently.
And I think one of them even involved the motorcycle somehow.
Really?
Yeah, I think in the men's race, because it took a while for them to get it all cleaned up. We're going to catch all kinds of shit for not knowing these details, because I could be completely wrong about it.
Doesn't matter. We were down there doing what we were supposed to be doing. Yeah. Drinking.
We were drinking and, patroning the downtown area. So, well, way to go, Athens. You won.
Yeah.
But I think they did win, because it just keeps getting bigger and bigger every year. And
it says it's an 80K race around downtown Athens.
80K. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, got it.
So, one lap, I want to say they did.
Was 1K?
I think one lap was 1K.
That's what I'm guessing.
It's probably close.
Well, I know, because I was told they do 80 laps.
Oh, well, then that makes complete sense.
Yeah, so there you go.
Well, I'm glad we were able to deduce that.
Yeah, you're welcome, everybody.
Yeah, there you're yelling at the radios again.
We did good reporting from Twilight.
Well, we've got Mother is on it as far as correcting us. That was one thing that I think you posted to the Facebook page, that I think we were goofing around and I started doing the "Should Have Been Gone."
Yeah,
and
he told me that too.
We incorrectly identified that as a Journey lyric when in actuality it's a Steve Perry lyric post Journey. Yep.
How dare us?
How dare us? Exactly.
Well, we're going to get a lot of things wrong, but one thing that we do have right is that there are survivors out there, and our fan base is growing exponentially these days. Facebook is just blowing up, and all you new listeners, we're so happy to hear. I wouldn't hear anything about you. We're so happy that you could hear us. one more time as we come and bring you all the stories you can handle from the bunker in Athens, Georgia.
You are keeping it real mellow tonight.
I'm keeping it. Well, you can't. You know,
you got that little bed of the little dance music, which that does bring to mind. I came across something that I'd previously not seen before, but I mean, everybody's heard of EDM, electronic dance music. Apparently, there's a subgenre that the people refer to as IDM, intelligent dance music.
Oh yeah.
Which just sounds like the most obnoxious thing.
Yep.
I think it's probably just, EDM that's not as fun.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's supposed to have really technical rhythms to it or something like that.
I wonder if it's like shoegaze.
I'm not sure about shoegaze.
You're not sure? Like, you don't know what shoegaze is?
I don't know.
You're talking about when someone's playing up on stage and all they do is look down at the shoes the whole time?
I think it's like a weird subgenre of just kind of emo, if emo is even a genre. I'm not sure if I'm going to accept emo as a genre.
Fucking emo.
Emo is more of a... It's like hip-hop. It's a way of life. It's not really a genre of music.
It's a way of life.
That's what I'm guessing.
Well, it's like emo kids generally like goth music. Is that the way it works?
I thought emo kids separated themselves from goth kids. They didn't like getting mistaken for the goth kids.
Oh, maybe that's it.
Oh, well then, you know.
We need to meet some emo kids and ask them.
Yeah, because I don't know anything about the emo shit.
Seems like the theme of this show, we just start talking about something and very rapidly reach the upper end of our knowledge on it and say, hey, we should learn more about that. And maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe before the next time we podcast.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, we can't plan every single one of these things out.
Come on. Because that would be ridiculous.
Well, we got to experience a little bit of the local culture last night here in beautiful Athens, Georgia.
As we do every night.
Yeah. We got to go out to Hendershot's coffee bar and experience the local talents of some great comedians at Casual Comedy with our buddy Dave Weiglin, who is going to be on the episode real soon.
Has he agreed to this, or are you just pressuring him?
No, he said he would. He's just trying to catch him. He's busy. He's got, like, a family and shit.
Oh, come on, kids, man.
He's casual dad. You know?
Well, I ran into him at Twilight, as I ran into many people, and they were on the way out because one of their kids was not having it.
Yeah.
And they had to go, and so he told me he probably couldn't make it.
I don't, you know, early in the day, maybe at Twilight, it's fun if you take your kid to the, like, the little side area with all the
well, the BMX stuff the too can be stuff. Cool.
But the race itself, I don't. That would be. I don't. My niece was in town. She's like 13, and you know she's I can have fun wherever. It's a 13-year-old, but it wasn't interesting, you know. I told her it's much more interesting when you can drink, enjoy yourself. You know, just watching the bike.
Another couple more years.
But see, that's a weird thing too, because I remember several years of like just setting up shop in a beer garden somewhere, which is another nice thing about Twilight is they open up the streets to more drinking. But yeah, you're just sitting there getting drunk, and then every minute or so, it's just like, and then you're just like, all right, I don't have any idea what's going on. Just a bunch of people on bikes just flew by.
I was enjoying the people in some of the apartments up above, some of the bars and businesses yelling and booing the people and telling them that they sucked. I was like, are you kidding me? Jesus Christ. There was one guy that was really loud. He kept doing it, and I was like, Jesus Christ. God.
Keep it classy, Athens.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, we got kind of hooked up with a corner spot above the Herschel restaurant. I'm not sure what this iteration of that restaurant is called now. It's just like Herschel's.
It's like Herschel's 34 or something like that, right?
I think that was the original. Like, they were trying to make it like a grill, and now it's more maybe like home style, like down home kind
of. Oh, they have changed their menu, yeah. I know that they were doing that.
Anyway, our windows were painted shut. That was the only bad thing about that.
They were painted shut?
Yeah, big, gigantic windows. You could pretty much just stand up in them if you wanted to. But
did you not have a screwdriver?
No, it would have taken probably
crowbar,
putty knife, and a stout putty knife, and some hammer.
Some hammer, absolutely. You said it right. You said it right. Yeah, taking some hammer.
Oh my god!
I'm glad that we're talking about Twilight again. We just skimmed right over the whole Dave comedy bit.
How did we get back on that?
Oh yeah, sorry. Yeah, how did we?
Oh, because DJ saw him at Twilight.
Oh yeah,
but later,
sorry,
we saw him hosting a comedy show at Hendershot's.
Yeah, it was the first time I've ever been able to make it out to his comedy that he hosts out there.
I've been out a couple times, Sam.
It was a good time.
Yeah, it's real fun.
Is it always called casual comedy? Is that the...
No, he's done a couple of them. One's Open Toad that he used to do at Flicker Bar all the time. And now Hendershot's, I think, is a fairly... Well, I think they used to do it on the old building at Hendershot's over there.
I think, but did he host the Open Toad thing? I know.
I went to one of those, but I saw him do one at Game Day Pub that he hosted.
That was called Drafts and Laughs.
Something like that. And then I've seen him host two.
Gotcha.
So I don't know where the other one was at. Maybe it was at Hendershot's. I just don't remember.
Gotcha.
But he's good. He's fun to watch, and there's a lot of good comics around town. And, you know, we get some that come from Atlanta that come out quite often to do this thing, too. And a lot of them go down and do a lot of the open mic stuff at Laughing Skull and different places downtown.
Well, see, one of the guys that performed last night is Walker Smith. And I didn't realize at the time, but he's one of the guys that opened up when Doug Stanhope came a while back.
Oh, right on.
And he had a solid set. Like, it was, I thought it was hilarious. And then at some point close to the end of the set, he just mentions the fact, just in passing, that he's 22. And so for the rest of the set, I just kept turning around to Red. I was like, he's fucking 22, man.
That's awesome.
But yeah, just solid, hilarious. He did a good set last night. We actually were able to talk to him for a little while after the show. And he seems like a really nice guy.
Yeah, everybody was pretty accessible afterwards, and probably could have done more talking to the comics if I had just been in the mood for some reason after the show. I couldn't get it together enough to like really try to speak to any of them.
You're in your refractory period, yeah.
But yeah, we did talk to Walker for a few minutes and Dave, and they were all real funny. Several folks from Atlanta. Mm-hmm. It was funny to hear their take on Athens.
Yeah, it inspired me. I don't know.
That's a difficult thing to do. Get up there and tell some of your jokes that you've come up with.
Yeah.
Or totally just steal someone else's jokes and just go up there and tell them. That's what I would do.
Then see it. Yeah. No, for sure. It is inspiring. And I would love to do it. It does sound completely horrifying, however.
We've got to do it. We've got to come up with, what, 4 or 5 minutes and just go to an open mic and just say, fuck it, and do it.
Yeah. You don't think that's a long time, but...
Oh, God. Fucking
5 minutes is a long time. That's,
I mean...
To keep it going?
When you do your 5 minutes in, like, two, because you're nervous.
Yeah. Okay, everybody. Everybody's talking about Joe Town.
And so where'd you get that hat, sir? Where'd you get that? Yeah.
It's a funny hat.
You just think about, like,
piss poor crowd work.
A public speaking class, you know, you probably had to take one of those in school, and you generally have to give a 5 minute speech for that, and it's like, it feels like forever, you know?
I did mine on how to roll a cigarette.
Yeah.
We had to do two different speeches, and one was like where you had to actually show something, and that's what I did. I brought rolling papers and tobacco and showed how to roll a good cigarette.
Golly, what did I do for mine? There's the persuasive speech, and then there's that one that you're talking about, the demonstrative.
I can't remember what I did for my persuasive. Yeah.
My persuasive, I remember, because I persuaded people that they need to tip their delivery person.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, It was like, you know, you get the question and answer segment of that speech, and people were like, tried to call me out. Oh, well, what if you don't have, you know, the money to tip? It's like, well, you shouldn't be ordering pizza. You know, if you don't have enough money to tip the driver, then you should be eating ramen or something. Come on.
Did you think you got to a lot of people there? Did they stand up and start cheering when you were done?
Well, you know, I just explained to them that, okay, think about it this way. Think about, you know, how trustworthy you think that you are, and how trustworthy you think your friends are, and think about... what you would do if you were mad at somebody and you were able to be alone with their food for, you know, between 10 and 30 minutes.
Oh, that's like, accept Jesus or you're going to burn in hell, rather than accept Jesus because it's the right thing to do.
Well, I'm always nice to people that are handling my food.
Well, you're like, listen, let's just go straight to it. We're going to rub our dicks all over your pizza.
Oh, for sure. Look, I'm just throwing it out there. You know, it should be common sense that you would just be nice and do it.
Absolutely.
You know, somebody's performing a service for you, but you know, if it's not that simple to you, you know, sometimes you got to be told how it is, you know,
or shown,
and that might not do anything either, but at least they know, and you know, they don't have an excuse.
I mean, I've known people that have done shit like that. They've like pissed on a pizza,
yeah,
eaten part of it on the way there and then given it to them.
Pee is really easy to do. I know people that would wipe the lips of like canned Cokes on their underside of their balls.
God, I hope that never happened to me. I'm always nice to people that deliver.
Reach
my food
down and get you a nice handful of butt sweat, you know, just wiping on drinks. You should tip your pizza delivery guy or any delivery.
Always tip, man.
Any food delivery.
Just tip.
Crack open that nice little cold 12-ounce Coke, and then you go to immediately take the sip out of it, and then the carbonation that's coming out just carries the waft of just taint stench just right up into your nose. And you just think it's the carbonation burning your nose.
So what about the ones that are dicks to you after you've already delivered the food and you weren't able to do anything to it?
You just remember?
Oh, yeah, you always remember. Believe me, you always remember.
Like the guy that makes you break 100 and then doesn't give you any fucking tip at all after you give him all the change.
Exactly. You remember. Believe me, you remember that, and you know exactly who it is when you see the address. You don't even have to drive to the house, you know?
Yeah.
You would be remembered far more readily for a bad or no tip than you will for, you know, a decent tip. A really, really good tip, you'd probably be remembered as well. But bad tip, you know, immediate recognition.
I feel like you might be drawing some hatred with this one.
Listen, I delivered.
I know it makes perfect sense to you, but it doesn't always make perfect sense to everybody out there.
What doesn't make perfect sense about it, though?
Basically, to people that have never worked in food services.
That they should tip?
Not that they should tip, but that there's not much that wrong, or not much that wrong with not tipping.
But what if the person just does a bad job?
I agree. There's not the, you know, like,
you don't show up when you're
everybody
supposed to.
Doesn't know, and that's what the point of the persuasive speech was.
Oh yeah,
it's their come to Jesus moment. You know, it's the, you know, is it the Catholic idea that if you don't know about Jesus, you can claim ignorance, or whatever, and you can still go to, I guess, purgatory and somehow get to heaven.
Sweet.
But as soon as you know about it, then you're screwed. You know, you don't have a choice.
That was that takes me to one of the weirder arguments in favor of Christianity I ever heard from my old roommate in college. We were discussing it one time, and I was like, all right, what about like a little, I don't know, Asian or African kid that's just born into a different religion, and they're raised to believe that, and they just never have any contact with Christianity. I think we were talking about like the classic example of like just the tribe somewhere deep in the jungle of Africa or whatever. And the response was that like, well, God gave them intelligence, and if they thought about this whole situation, they could come up with the idea of like sin, and then there having to be some sacrifice, and then God sending his son as a sacrifice. It's like, no, they couldn't. That's really convoluted.
Yeah,
like it can completely come to all those same conclusions.
No, it's more just let's hunt and get food and survive.
Yeah.
And make up your own religions, which is every other culture did, yeah, you know, independently. So, yeah, that's a pretty silly. He would not have gotten an A on his persuasive speech from me if I was a teacher.
Yeah.
At not at all.
Although I did get an A. So
did you really? Did you get any better tips?
No. I mean, no. I wasn't, you know, giving the speech
to thought maybe customers. Some of your classmates would have been like, hey, where do you work at? And then ordered some pizza, and you would have brought it to them, and they tipped you.
Oh, yeah, I would never have told them where I worked.
Well, see, I used to always love the free pizza cards that were handed out, and just the common belief, I guess, amongst the drivers was if you got tipped, I guess $5 was the solid. $4 was kind of sketchy. If they gave you $4, typically I'd let them keep the card for $4. But anything less than that, it's like, nope, I'll take that. Let's go. Yeah. You keep reusing that thing. It's a sweet scam. I get a nice fat tip. You get a pizza for $4 or $5. It's a good deal.
Yeah.
No, I knew a guy that managed a pizza place, and they always had like the coupons that you could have, but he would have a shit ton of coupons in his pocket, and anytime anybody would came up, most of them they didn't have the coupon, and he would enter it in and then keep the cash of like the discount or whatever. So he ripped the shit up. And I'd always come, he's like, hey man, come on over. I'd go over there and he'd make me go around back and he'd give me like 4 pizzas. I was like, man, I just need one. But he's just like giving out free shit all the time.
What's his name?
Huh?
No.
Hey, he no longer works there.
Yeah.
It was years ago. It was the old Pizza Hut.
Well, speaking of persuasive speeches, I think my brother is turning into conservative uncle.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. Like, really hardcore. the first time I noticed this was probably, I mean, it's probably a decade ago, so this has been kind of, a slow decline into it. But, we were sitting there in the middle of Thanksgiving dinner, and my brother just out of the blue is just like, so how do you feel about abortion?
What the fuck? That's what he said.
No shit. That's exactly what he said. And like he was engaging, I think it was more directed towards my older, probably I guess the most liberal of the bunch, my older sister. He wanted to engage her in some rousing political discourse, I suppose. But no, the reason it came up is they were up on Saturday and we were all eating dinner at the Varsity, lunch at the Varsity. I don't want to confuse anybody. But you call lunch dinner sometimes?
Like, no.
Dinner is just supper?
Yeah, sure.
Dinner's always supper in your book?
I mean, sometimes I just don't eat.
Well, I mean, I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about actual calling. Like, I mean, you can call me midday meal dinner, right?
Is there a difference between dinner and supper? Is one more classier than the other?
I don't know.
I always thought supper was around the TV, and then dinner was like sitting down at a table.
Yeah, I never eat dinner.
Me either. I'm always eating supper.
Nice.
I thought supper was just kind of like a redneck thing.
Yeah,
I ate supper tonight.
Supper and dinner, same thing.
My old lady giving me supper.
Lunch is lunch. If it's before 4 o'clock, it's lunch. After 4, dinner / supper.
Well, what's a late lunch?
That's afternoon snack area in 3 or 4.
What if someone says
three to four maybe, but after 4 it's dinner.
Where does high tea fit in?
We don't do that here.
That's like a 1:30 PM thing, I think.
Probably, I would guess that.
High tea?
Yeah.
I did like in The Hobbit where they had 11sies. They had breakfast, second breakfast, and then 11sies. I don't even know what the hell that is. Sounds delicious, though. It's probably involving scones, I'm guessing.
I hope so.
I would think so. Yeah, first and second breakfast are probably more hearty, protein, bacon, eggs type stuff.
A lot of sausage.
Oh, yeah, a lot of sausage. So, do I want to talk more about my brother? He just, yeah, well, this time, out of the blue.
So, there was no, like, build up to this. There was no conversation that brought this up at all or something on TV. It was just like, hey, man, what do you feel about abortions?
Well, no. That was a while back. This one, he kind of pulled the same thing with a less intense subject. He just, out of the blue, is like, so, what do you think about, he said, Governor Deal's law that just got passed.
The gun law?
Just relaxing all the concealed carry rules in Georgia. I haven't, again, imagine that we have a podcast and I haven't prepared myself for it, but the high points that I've heard is you can now, if you have a concealed carry permit, carry a gun in a bar, in a church.
But it's up to the business or the church, right, to decide whether or not you can bring it in.
Yeah, I mean, individuals still have the option of
yay or nay on that.
Yeah. And I would suspect maybe school districts can vote on it separately, or even individual schools. I don't know.
I guess I don't know either.
Excuse me. I don't know either. You know, people take guns wherever anyway. Whatever.
But see, that's the scary thing, because he said that. And I was trying to be... I was trying to discuss this. He brought up a study. He's like, now, you know, there are studies out now that say places with more gun control are more violent. And I was like, okay, that sounds interesting, but he didn't really have all the details about it. It was just one of those things where he had seen the headline somewhere, or seen it on some email or whatever. But I actually looked up the study, and it was comparing the United States to, like, most of Eastern Europe, the old Soviet bloc, and and Russia. And that was one of the big one was the comparison between the U.S. and Russia, where they were like, well, Russia's much more gun control over there and much more violent. So, you see, more guns, more gun control makes things less safe.
Yeah.
And my point with him, before I knew that was Russia, it was like, well, did they compare the U.S. to Canada? Did they compare the U.S. to the U.K.? Two places that I know. I know Canada's less violent than the U.S.
I know the U.K. is, too, with their gun laws.
Because, sure.
I mean, not even their cops carry, right?
They have to, like, call a second group of cops if they need guns. I love that.
Yeah.
It's like the guys show up with the funny hats and the sticks, and if they can't, like, stop the situation.
It's more funny hat and stick subject. Style cops.
Yeah.
I think that's the problem with our justice system. We don't have more funny hat and stick style cops.
So then we need more villages.
Well, no, we need to keep producing more guns.
Yeah.
Like, just every type of and fucking gun. And let
people take them wherever.
Yeah, you know, one that has 50 fucking rounds. And it's fucking crazy. That's, I think, the most ridiculous thing, is the kind of weapons that they make and sell.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, who needs, like, some of these semi-automatic and machine gun? Like, oh, and that's another thing that's on that bill. It is okay now to hunt with a silencer.
Yeah, you don't want all the other deer to hear you killing their friends.
Right.
I don't know if I have any issues with hunting with a silencer. I mean, if you
were hunting, it was funny, like, how it was attached to 50
caliber sniper rifle, which I guess you'd be allowed to do. You'd ruin some meat, but I don't know if you were able to. Well, hunting with machine guns, that'd be interesting.
And my only issue with any of these laws are, it's like, is there not something fucking better that they could be spending their time?
No, I agree with you on that.
Who cares if I can take a gun into a school?
Let's talk about spending. Let's talk about all this fucking spending that we're doing, you know? Either we don't take enough taxes in and we still spend, or we take it in and we still spend a fucking shit ton.
Yeah.
There's no accountability for the spending.
Well, see, that was my thing with, like, first hearing about this law. It's like, who was out there, like, beating the streets to get the right to take a gun into a church?
Yeah.
Oh, I know. And I asked my brother this, and he's like, well, I mean, this was more about the point of it. And I was like, well, that's great when they're passing laws to prove points. Yeah. That is great. Yeah.
Fucking shit. Yeah, like, some of the stuff they're talking about, like that, with the taking it to church, like, I never thought about taking a fucking gun to church. But I'm sure there's some small rural towns where it's just a common thing, because everybody
takes their gun.
Yeah, everybody has it. Absolutely. I used to see it now when my grandmother used to live in a small little country town. And
the thing about that is, ain't nobody stopping them from doing it anyway.
Back to the point that I completely forgot to make earlier, he actually said that. He's like, well, people are just carrying guns in bars anyway. And it's just like, well, what you've just given me is a completely unprovable fact that you're presenting as just truth.
I'm sure some people do. Yeah. But you know what? You're right. Let's just fucking all let them bring guns everywhere. Fucking A, dude. But you know, you can bring them in all the way up to the checkpoint in courthouses before you get to the metal detectors, wherever they have that. And I think now you can actually have them on some of the grounds of the airport, if I'm not mistaken.
Part of the law is they have a gun check at like public places.
Well, it's not a gun check. It's just if you go through.
I was just saying if they did.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, what I did was rather, I mean, we argued, not really argued for a little while, we discussed for a little while, and then later on I realized, what a waste of good quality family time. So now I'm going to engage my brother in an email, and we'll discuss a few things. I sent him some articles to look at, to look about gun control, and hopefully try to him not be so knee-jerk about things. You know, and
I have to say that too. My brother will do that shit to me sometimes. He used to do it a lot. He doesn't really do it anymore, but he would fucking bring shit up like that and start arguments. And it was ridiculous. And I'd just make a point, and he would like it because it wasn't his view or his point. Like, you know, I'm not agreeing with it. It'd be fucking ridiculous. I remember we got in a fight over Social Security because I just made the comment. I was like, you know, that's something I probably can't rely on when it comes time for me to draw on that. It was like that was basically my. I was like, that's all I said about it. I was like, I don't know. You know, it's probably not going to be there. Like, oh, and he goes off on this tangent about like Democrats and stuff. I was like, "What are you talking about? Where are you coming from? I don't even know what your argument is anymore." All I said was, "You know, it may not be there."
I also did a really weird thing because we were going from the varsity after we were done to my sister's house to help move a few things around. And I did that weird thing where you're having a discussion with one person, and then we're going to leave, and I get in my car, and Dad's like, hey, I'm going to ride with you. And so Dad comes over. So I just continued the same discussion with Dad and just gave him a thorough ear beating all the way to my sister's house. I felt kind of bad for him. But, I mean, one of the points that I kind of hit on that I've been thinking about lately is people are so flippant about, man, if somebody breaks into my house, I'll kill them. I'll shoot them. Yeah. I'll kill them. And it's just like, just take a step back and think about what the hell you just said. Like, yeah. I understand the idea of your peace being disturbed and your well-being and somebody breaking into your house and that being a terrible thing. I mean, I've had somebody try to kick a door in at one house I was at. I've had somebody actually break into another one when it was under construction, steal some stuff. Like, I understand that sucks. But, like, really think about what it takes to aim and fire a weapon with accuracy.
Oh, yeah.
And even if you hit the person, like, are you really going to clean brains off of your living room wall over a fucking television? Like, just think about that.
My television, yes.
You got a nice TV in there.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't really care about mine either.
But I mean, but I keep hearing that from people. They're just like, oh, I'll kill him, man. I'll save the trouble for the next guy. He won't break any more houses. And it's just like, yeah, think about what you're saying.
Yeah, okay, you say that now. But it's also like the argument about with the guns. I've had a few people say, it was like, well, yeah, it's like those you know, those shootings at the movie theater and all that. If other people had guns, it would prevent it. I was like, no, it wouldn't have. Yeah. You were in a small, crowded area in a dark theater, and everybody pulls out their gun and start shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. And then you, because you know, not everybody that even gets a gun knows properly how to handle a gun.
They think they do,
absolutely. And then it could be too much gun for them. They just don't know. It's just like that's a fucking stupid argument.
Red, have you ever had that problem?
No.
Okay.
I don't have problems these days.
Too much gun?
Yeah. Nice one.
Soundbite! No, we got to come up with a different soundbite to alert people to our soundbites.
No, you just did it. Now we're going to have to, we'll just cut it up and use it.
That is a good exit for the gun control. We didn't really make any points on.
Yeah, we really did.
Solid stance. So. Anyway, all right, next.
But you're all right. It is fucking crazy. Like, some of the things that they do want to argue about or make into laws.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let's spend all this time on that and argue about this because we're not already arguing about enough shit that's going on.
Well, I mean, is this like his you know, legislation that he wants to be known for? You know, it's like,
well, that was the weird thing from the beginning. Not Deal's law. Deal just signed it, as the governor does.
Yeah,
like that doesn't make it his law.
Yeah,
I don't quite get that one. I'm sure he was proud to sign it. I mean, I'm sure conservatives everywhere are like yee-hawing about this thing. But
yeah.
I don't know. Pretty interesting stuff, though.
It is. I don't have a gun of my own, though, so it doesn't really...
Shh, don't tell people that. What's your address?
Where do you live?
No, Marisa has all
you
the
You would
guns.
Think with the bunker that we had, we would have guns, but we didn't think that through, did we?
No, I have lasers.
Oh, we've got... Never mind then, we're good.
We have fish with freaking laser beams on their head.
Freaking laser beams.
Oh, there you go. Well, then never mind.
Oh, God.
Yes, you had the drink. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So I had a little DJ sesh out at the golf course this past week.
Oh yeah.
It was interesting, to say the least.
Oh yeah.
Hey man, could you play some Skinner?
There weren't a whole lot of folks there, but I knew that the age range of the folks were going to be like, you know, mid to late 40s through like 60s.
Do you get hit on by any of the cougars? Are any cougars there?
Nobody likes me.
Oh, really?
No, because I can't please them musically, so why would I be able to sexually?
What do they want to hear?
I try to play kind of middle of the road, easy to digest things most of the time. And
Gangnam Style?
But stuff that's fun and stuff that's...
Thrift Shop, you know, the edited version.
That people have heard of.
It's very vulgar. Have you ever heard it?
Mm-mm.
It's naughty.
Yeah.
You play any Yin Yang Twins?
No, I did not play any of that. But
so that's the first hour
or so, like the couples, it's for couples golf night, and they're like, they go play golf, some holes of golf, come back and have dinner, and
did you do a ladies' choice?
Whatnot. And so, the first hour I could just play whatever I want because there's like nobody there, so I got to have fun with it a little bit and play some fun songs, and then it's getting to be about the time folks are going to be walking in, so I brought it down a little bit.
And
I was playing Digital Underground Humpty Dance.
Yeah,
slowed it down a little bit. Yeah,
playing Humpty Dance, which is like the whitest rap song ever. It's not Eminem singing it, so it's not like, but it's like, you know, it's vanilla.
I mean, they do have the phrase, in the 69 my humpy nose will tickle your ear.
Well, just
which I don't quite understand. Unless he says tickle your rear, it might be tickle your rear.
Tickle your rear.
Which is kind of gross that you're just rubbing a big fake nose up somebody's boo hole.
Is it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a fake nose.
So, in any case, I'm playing.
It's right next to your real nose, though. That's going to capture some stench.
That's true.
You have to wash
it. Sex is smelly anyway.
What does he really look like? Have you ever seen a picture of him?
No.
Okay.
I can't recall. Sorry, Rhett, go ahead.
Oh, our bad.
I was playing the song before folks started walking out, but folks came out and started sitting down around the table, and immediately, the lady looks up at me, and she's like, who do you think you're playing for? Why do you think we want to listen to this? I'm like, okay. okay, sorry. And I was like, well, there's nobody out here when I was playing it, so I wasn't sure if they would like it or not.
I was just over here playing with myself, man.
And guy turns around.
And then you people all showed up.
Guy turns around and says, you got any Springsteen?
Nope.
Yeah, it's like, let me look and see what I got. And I actually did have a Springsteen. I had one Springsteen song, Dancing in the Dark.
Was that okay for them?
Nice. And I was like, yeah, okay. I got some Springsteen for you. I'll play it after this.
He was pissed that it wasn't Glory Days.
Like,
wasn't
it's probably part of that bullshit Dancing in the Dark. And I said, well, I don't have any Springsteen for you, so let me see what else I can find.
Is that what he really said? That's hilarious.
And he's like, oh, no, it's fine. So I went ahead and played the Springsteen. And some guy, which I thought he was just joking when he said it, but he was like, I'd rather hear Rick Springfield than Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, clever.
And I was like, oh, I can do that. I got some Jesse's Girl up in here. So I played Jesse's Girl next, and the guy was, he was like, I didn't really mean you want you to play that. I was like, what? I'm just background music for you guys while y'all eat. You like, just eat.
Yeah, quit. God damn.
Who are these yokels that were talking like that? Like, I didn't mean Rick Springfield. I was just joking.
These aren't members at the golf course.
They are or they are not?
They are. No, they are. They're,
God. Don't say where.
No, at the golf course that I used to work at. So finally I just played Skinner.
Wow.
And I played Skinner and...
I did not waggle my dick around.
a whole a playlist of songs similar, you know, like to try to appease them. And they sat there and ate dinner and didn't comment on the music for a while, which I took as a good sign. And so I started playing a little bit, some more recent kind of poppy music, and I ended up playing the Miley Cyrus song "Adore." That's you know most recent one.
That's yeah.
It's the slow ballad.
How does it go?
I adore.
Yes.
Do, 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 do.
Was that her, like a synthesizer?
Do, 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 do. I think it's people. Background singers.
Ah. Well, nice.
Something like that. So I'm playing that song, and this older gentleman comes up to me. He's like, I like this song. Who's this? And I was like, really? I was like, it's Miley Cyrus. And he was taken back. He's like, I mean, I'm not a big Miley Cyrus fan or nothing. But this song was pretty good. I said, well, this album's good. I mean, that's why she's getting, you know, such a good, you know, reviews from it because the whole thing's pretty good. And he's like, well, you've been playing awesome music tonight, man. I appreciate it. So I had one guy that was like totally into it.
And that's what it's all about, right? One person.
I made a connection.
Yeah.
I thought it was going terribly this whole time, but I made a connection.
I mean, it's very similar to this podcast.
Each one reach one.
Yeah.
All it took was a little Miley Cyrus.
Right. And see, now you build on that, you know?
So maybe they'll have me back.
Of course they will, Rhett.
There apparently was also like a really big like neighborhood party happening in like the neighborhood clubhouse that night. So like. That's why, you know, part of the reason why there was not a huge crowd over at their thing. They've had some bad luck with their timing of some of their parties with things like that. So
yeah.
But I always enjoy playing out there just because folks are generally pretty easy, you know. And I can just make a playlist basically and play it. they don't really care for too much DJ scratching and beat matching and mixing.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say I really like your aggressive DJ style where like you're. It seems like sometimes you're actively trying to piss off the people that are there.
I do that sometimes.
And I was earlier in the story. I was gonna ask like, does anybody ever belt out like, play some Freebird, man, play Skinner? Sure enough, you had it. That's pretty. I'm impressed by that.
I didn't have Freebird, but I did have
Tuesday's Gone.
I think I played Tuesday's Gone.
Nice. Yeah. Play some Curtis Lowe.
Curtis Lowe's the shit.
That's a good song.
That is the shit.
You know,
that's my favorite song.
I had the Almost Famous soundtrack, so I was kind of limited to the stuff out there. That's like my only Allman Brothers song is on there. And
it's which like, Allman Brothers song is it?
Oh shit!
Sweet Melissa.
No, it's something a little faster.
Ramblin' Man.
Probably.
Oh, I know.
It's not. It's not Ramblin' Man. It's like Here We Go or something like Here We Go Again.
I'm trying to sing all the way through.
Terrible.
It now and I can't.
Sorry, I
it.
Apologize to all the Allman Brothers fans out
one
there.
Day after.
I do enjoy
and
the Allman Brothers.
Chris will let us know.
Yeah, he let us know what
he'll tell us later what it is.
But after it was over, you know, folks went and paid their tab and left. And I was like, fuck, I don't really ever get to, like, blast these speakers. So I just, like, cranked them up all the way and played a few dubstep songs and mixed them together. You know, just had my own little party right there. The folks in the restaurant were cleaning up.
Just imagine, like, some old lady left her purse behind and she comes walking back in and she just hears, like, wop, 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 wop. She's like, oh, I'll just leave it.
And there's just one guy out there.
And Rhett just dancing his ass off in the nude in front of his own tables.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I do strip down. I can't load up my shit without taking my clothes off first. Oh, yeah, it's ridiculous. All right.
Holy shit.
All right.
That's awesome.
Hey, I'm going into an isolation tank.
Okay. Are you really?
Yeah, yeah. I came across that right before my birthday. It was a Groupon it's like a spa in Atlanta, and that's part of their thing is you get to chill out and have a nice time and then go into the isolation tank for an hour.
What do you mean you get to chill out and have a nice time?
I'm assuming they put you in some sort of a robe and perhaps give you hot tea.
Are you gonna sure take, about this? LSD when you do this?
No, no. I'm going in this completely clear-minded. I got to try it one time so I can have a baseline, you know?
That's true, yeah.
I guess so. How are you going to get addicted
Scope it out first.
I don't know.
I want to know what this, prior to getting into the tank, what happens there? You said a robe and some tea?
I'm imagining a robe and some tea.
You think there's any rub down?
I don't know. Maybe.
Scalp massage?
Probably not. Probably a scalp massage. I think the tank itself is the supposed to be like the spa experience.
I don't know, man. You don't know much about this.
Hmm.
You could be wrong.
But anyway. yeah.
Do you think they give you slippers? You got to be careful if you don't have any shoes on. You got to be careful because you can get fucking fungus on your feet.
Well, you're also getting into. I mean, I hope the filtration system on that tank is good
because ooh,
I mean,
that's good the point.
It's 98.6 degrees.
You think anyone's ever shat themselves in it?
Surely not. If I open the tank up and there's just a dude.
Well, I'm not saying there'll be one in there floating for you, but I'm just saying you think everybody just got so relaxed where everything just kind of like oh.
Surely not.
You don't think so?
Surely nobody would disrespect the tank like that.
I'm not saying they do it on purpose.
I mean, you'd get out. You'd run. You'd get out of there.
But maybe not. What do you think, Rhett?
I don't think... I wasn't paying attention.
Okay. Never mind, then. Go ahead, John.
But anyway, it's an hour in a sensory deprivation tank, which I kind of learned about from the Rogan podcast.
No, he's got one at his place, right?
Oh, yeah, he's got one. He loves them so much.
I want to try.
He said every house he has, he's always put one in. And these super, like, badass...
How does it work? Are you in water? While you're in this, is there like a little bit of water in
it's
or is it just...
It's a salt water solution.
Yeah, it's like 8 or 10 inches of water that you're just floating
completely
in.
Completely dark?
Completely dark. There's just tons of salt in the water, so you're buoyant.
Buoyant.
And the water's actually body temperature. So you... Essentially, you lose all of your senses. I mean, you close the tank down, you can't hear anything, you can't see anything, there's nothing to smell, you can't feel anything because the water's the same temperature as your body, and you just lay back and float, and... The idea is that it lets your mind be completely free of any sort of sensory input.
Oh, wow.
I can't remember if your ears are submerged or not.
That's my question. That's the thing. I'm thinking maybe they're up above they're up above the water line a little bit, but I'm not sure.
Because it seems like you would hear everything, like every little splish. But I guess the idea is not to move.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It sounds cool. It seems strange that we don't have something like that here in Athens. This being a college town with a psych department and at least one.
I'm
on
sure
campus
someone's
somewhere.
Got. One
sure,
here
they've
in this
got
town
one
somewhere
in the bottom of the psych department somewhere.
Yeah, you think so? Like
probably
in a basement or some room. It's like the water hadn't been changed in 25 years.
I bet there's probably one in this town.
Well, it also seems
we could
like
find it.
With folks, intellectuals wanting to maybe expand their mind in a natural way, that it would be the kind of place that would have a, one that you could go to, a spa type situation that you could pay to go do one.
God, what if this just becomes my calling? I quit my job and decide to open up like a float lab style deprivation.
Can I get a job?
Yeah. If the money's flowing in, yeah, we'll get you on board.
Cool.
Are you talking about like investing at the ground level? Is that what we're talking about? Or
well,
you just need a paying job?
I need a job, too.
I just want percentage points without putting in any money.
I'll help out.
You're going to get a little one of those green like fish scooper nets, and you're going to get the dookie out of the deprivation tank after people poop it.
That's fine.
Okay. Here, I'll you good with that?
Yeah.
For like,
I'll be a skimmer.
For like half minimum wage?
I gotta have something else.
Lunch. We'll give you lunch.
Okay. And can I get a free session?
And a Mexican Coke.
Ooh.
We're gonna have those
Mexican
at the spa
Cokes
too.
Are good.
Real sugar.
Not much longer, man. They're getting away with that. It's fucking stupid.
It's stupid.
It's fucking stupid. Coke does that. I'm done. Not really. Sorry, Coke.
Well, it seems like they would.
I hope not.
Because they will crush us.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It seems like
they're global, dude.
Is a market for Coke with sugar in it, obviously, because they sell Mexican Coke now. Like, why would you stop doing that?
Maybe it's more expensive.
I guess it's slightly more expensive, but charge more.
Why don't you charge more, John?
Yeah, buddy.
We don't charge anything for this podcast, and look how good it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we leave the real sugar in.
And that sugar in your tank, Mr. Reverend Flores. All right.
I did that once to my brother's motorcycle.
Sugar in the gas tank?
When I was younger.
Oh wow. Where did you hear about that when you were younger?
You know what? It was me and my buddy. We were going. We did all kinds of shit that day. We ended up spray painting my parents' house on the brick. My mom's top of her Buick. Sugar in the gas tank. And then there was something else we did. I can't remember. We spray painted a bunch of shit. Oh, the dog. We spray painted the dog. Yeah. I felt really bad about that after, once I got
what
older.
Brought
I
this
think,
on?
I think my buddy was like encouraging me to, you know, well, the spray paint, we found spray paint, I think, and we're like, oh, yeah. And then it just, I don't know how.
Just downhill from there.
Yeah.
Was the dog the last thing you spray painted?
Honestly, I can't remember. I do vividly remember, though, getting on top of my mom's Buick. And I don't know why I did it. I don't know why. I mean, I wasn't pissed or anything. I think it was, I probably didn't think it was going to be a permanent, I didn't really understand spray paint at the time.
Yeah. What was it? What
maybe
was it?
I did. I don't know. I mean, I just know I did it. I remember getting on top of it, but she had this old yellow Buick with like a tan, like those fake tan. It almost looks like it's a convertible, but it's not.
I remember that.
And I spray painted the top of that.
Oh, the vinyl top.
And I wasn't even, I don't even think I was like writing words or like, you know, TJ or anything like that. I think it was just like,
look what I can do.
Just a
not
ball.
Even like a cock and ball?
I don't think so. I don't, yeah.
That's what I was thinking about, the Tom Green episode where he turns his parents' car into the Slutmobile.
Oh, and he has the two girls on the front making out, like, doing it. That shit is awesome. That would be the best
just
prank
airbrushed
ever.
Airbrushed on the hood of the car.
God.
No, I was thinking you could probably get away if the Buick's tall enough. You could spray a huge cock and balls on top of it, and maybe she might not notice.
No, because she parked in the garage, and my dad was tall enough to when he walked by, he would see the cock and balls. So that's probably why I didn't do a cock and balls. I didn't know what a cock and balls probably was then.
It's your dictation.
Oh.
Am I the only one that has seen that? Summer Heights High?
Oh, I remember that show. But
don't know what you're talking about.
I think it's Chris Lilly is the guy who does the characters. It's an HBO show. This Australian show. This guy, Chris Lilly, does three different characters in a high school.
What happened?
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. It's just the way you were like, it's an Australian show.
Yeah, it was Australian.
It's an Australian show.
Why do you always have to smack? Shit.
No, he can't help it. It's just his mouth is very moist.
What about you?
In certain situations, that's quite... Wait, my mouth?
You were just doing it.
I know, I was making fun of him.
Well, don't make fun of him.
I'm just calling out how moist his mouth is.
That's disgusting.
But I'm also just saying in certain situations, that's desirable.
Wait, what kind of situation? Like when you're in like a think tank?
Like not podcasting.
Oh.
You know what I mean.
I know exactly what you mean. I really don't.
You know, not podcasting.
Do you know what he's talking about, Rhett?
Rhett's,
Rhett's
God. Rhett's
done.
Just not talking.
He's done. He's like, you fucking idiots.
My mouth is actually quite moist.
Huh. Just generally?
Just in general, for sure.
Could you say that again?
I was going to whisper it for our ASMR. But...
God, I hope we get a response to that. I hope somebody's
I noticed that when we were doing the whispering in the last episode that it was difficult to, you know, to whisper loud.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But not like...
I hated it.
Yeah.
TJ hated it, yeah.
I hated it. I listened to it again, and I was just like, oh, shit. For some reason, it annoys the shit out of me.
You just hated it because... God. This can't be a thing.
It was giving you the ASMR. You sound response. So creepy when you're whispering.
Response. It gives you the ASMR. Response. Oh, he did this last time. He just started hissing. I remember that.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Wait, really?
There was one point in time where you just started hissing, yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to not do that again.
No, it's okay. It happens.
No, I'm not repeating the same joke.
Yeah, we're just not going. Hey, yeah, let's talk about patent trolls for a little while. Or the knapsack of white privilege.
I could give you guys a little bit better like
nope,
point
nope,
of view
nope,
of that.
No.
Could you?
It's like, you know, just like this thing that you just
So anyway, there was a pro-marijuana rally in Athens the other day. That was pretty interesting.
I didn't know about this. How did I miss this?
Yeah, it happened at 11 o'clock in the afternoon on a Tuesday.
Who the fuck gets up at 11 to go protest?
Who gets up at 11 in the afternoon?
God damn.
It just seems like a strange time for a bunch of potheads.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at.
In middle of the day when nobody can see it except for like the people that are either shopping or
was it all college downtown. Students?
It didn't. I mean, I guess there were a few college students. The pictures that I saw in the Banner Herald looked to be about, I don't know, 20, 25 people down there. The teacher that got busted, who Rhett accurately predicted was now a marijuana advocate, he was there as a marijuana advocate. I'm trying to think who else. I didn't
help manage his pain.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, he was saying he was on methadone, and it wasn't doing any good, and now he's treating it with he's on the pot, you know?
Oh, that's right.
On the pot and the mushrooms. Those kind of help kick it in.
I don't think they mentioned the mushrooms at the all. Mushrooms. Like, I think they're trying to sweep that under the rug. Like, no, let's just...
Well, when is the mushroom legalization rally going
to
happen?
That needs to happen soon. It really does. I think I would take
advantage
of that.
That guy could totally walk in both of them. It would be perfect.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to see if I can't find the story, because there were a couple things I want to show you. One is that they have a really wide shot of the crowd. Like, there's one shot, there's like three or four pictures online, but it was downtown, pretty close to the courthouse, and apparently they got up, the photographer, on that second level and shot one over the speaker's shoulder.
Uh-huh.
So, like, you can clearly see everybody that was there, and it was just like, I'm glad I didn't go to this thing out of any sort of just curiosity to see what it was like, and all of a sudden there's me just standing there on the front page of the Banner Herald.
Oh, I see the shot you're talking about.
That's funny. I heard that the mayoral candidate Tim Denson was there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was a legalization advocacy rally.
A wowie. You know, a wise gathering of mice.
Is it not legal? Can we not do it here openly in Athens?
I mean, I always thought it was legal, but...
Me too.
I don't follow the laws that closely.
Piss on your rules, Nurse Ratched.
Yeah. I mean, you can carry a gun openly around and everywhere. I thought you could, you know, carry your vaporizer anywhere you want to go.
You've got a drink of that.
Yeah, I'm drinking. I was going to also give another reference as far as a gun smoking utensil.
Why were you going to do that?
Because it fits both laws.
That's genius right there.
Well, no, it's already been done in Cheech and Chong's Nice Dreams.
Oh, that's right.
He did convert his, a 45 caliber or something like that into some sort of weed smoking apparatus.
Yeah, he's like smoking weed out this window out of his gun, and it's like the weed, the whole joke is the weed turns you into to a lizard.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I don't know why.
They could have made better signs.
Some sort of weird shit.
Yeah, some of the signs were really, really weird.
There's this old guy in a green shirt just legalized, and he's got the little leaf, and it's really done poorly on cardboard.
He's missing some fronds on the leaf.
Well, whatever they need to do.
I can't read that. Oh, freedom for patients, and then legalize.
You know, I think it's only a matter of time for... It will be legal everywhere, you know. It's just, there's too much money in it.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like it'll move that way. We'll see.
Well, see, it is pretty crazy to think about. Obama gets elected and he gets reelected, and being a pessimist when it comes to politics, it's just like, same shit's just going to happen. It's just same shit. Doesn't matter, Republican, Democrat, whatever. And, I mean, he did. Like, there's issues with him just carrying on a lot of the same policies that Bush had. But then at the same time, all of a sudden, like, weed is getting legal and gay people are getting married. It's like, well, they're really, this shit's happening quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, it needs to.
No, absolutely.
What will be really interesting is when they do have to fight the federal government. Is as legal as it is in Colorado and in Washington. You know, they still you can't deal with banks. There's no banking system. Everything is still cash.
Well, no, yeah, right. But that's on the federal level, right? Because the federal government can come in and be like, hey, that's drug money. Exactly. We can seize it. We can whatever.
Well, you know, they're afraid that that's what they can do.
But that's what the federal governments have been doing along for these dispensaries for a long time, though. They've been using that to go in, and then they're getting names, which they're saying they're not, but they get records, they get files, they get computers, and they pull them out, and they go through everything. And you know, I mean, they've got lists, and if they...
Oh, for sure.
All that.
No, and that's, I think...
Which is bullshit.
There's a lot of fighting that's still going to happen with
especially
with
when you have communities that are allowing them to come in, and people are allowing them to use them, and these companies or businesses are paying taxes.
Oh, yeah, I mean...
And doing it the proper way. It's just fucking bullshit.
There's a Vice on HBO right now that's all about... well, not all about it, but one of the things they talk about it is the new security business that there is out in Colorado, like these high-tech security business that are like constantly guarding both the weed delivery and the money delivery that's happening all over the place because, you know, because everything is cash.
Right. I mean, where are you going to put it?
Yeah.
And where are you going to put your money? You got to have it with you.
They're talking about this year they're looking at displacing... Like the cartels, the Mexican cartels that usually get their weed into the U.S. Just in Colorado alone this year, they're going to lose $8 billion or something like that.
And that's the cartel you're saying?
Yeah, the cartel's going to.
Well, there you go. So, I mean, like, they don't like that.
No, they don't like that. And, you know, and then there's all this cash running around. And like, so it's like ex-military, ex-police that are in this guy's security business that are like armed guards, like, taking money all over the place and huge loads of weed everywhere.
That is fucked up. I mean, that's something you don't think about, that aspect of it. I mean, that is crazy, especially when you're trying to make it a legit business and that's what's coming of it. And, you know, that's going to be an argument for people that are against it. Yeah. It's just going to, or at least try to be.
Well, see, my fear on that one is like, remember Heat, the movie with Al Pacino and Robert De Niro, when there's that huge, like, up amongst the skyscrapers gun battle, like, just blocks and blocks.
Yeah.
And just assault rifle fire. I'm just imagining that just with big duffel bags full of pot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing about it. There not being a banking system that they can use, no? Like, if it were able to just use a damn credit card to buy it and everything's electronic, then, you know, it's...
Or you could... You can just open up another business and just start laundering the money through that.
Yeah, I mean, you can do it illegally for sure, but that's the whole point is they're trying to legitimize.
Can you imagine that, though?
That having to deal with that much money?
Yeah.
No, I couldn't imagine it.
And you can't put it, I mean, you have to either keep it at your house, you know, or a location, and they're going to know where it's at. You don't have it in a bank backed by anything.
Guess how much money I made today? Too much for me to carry from one place to another.
Well, it seems house anymore.
It seems like the trend out there is just to spend all your profit on investing back into your business just because they can't grow them fast enough. They can't grow these grow houses fast enough. They can't grow these dispensaries fast enough to keep up with the demand. And, you know, at least if you're investing back in your business, hopefully eventually there'll be a banking system that you can
use. I was going to say, are there really that many more like grow houses? Is the demand that much greater all of a sudden that it's illegal? Because I'd always thought that typically the same people that were smoking pot before were going to smoke pot now. So it would seem like if you have illegal growers just switching over to being legal growers,
you're probably having more people coming out of the state, that type of thing, coming in and be like, hey, I can get it here.
There's that. And then there's like the all kinds of like hoops and shit that you have to go through to be a legal grow operation. That, like, a lot of these illegal ones, you know, either aren't willing to do because they could still make money in the black market, or
hey,
yeah, the underground market,
the underground market,
it's the African American market, dude.
So it's interesting. I mean,
that is something I never even put that in my head. I knew about not being able to put the money in the banks, but I didn't think about the whole aspect of just being robbed and it taken.
Yeah.
I didn't think that. Or pissing off like cartels or other people mm-hmm. that have had that trade for a long time, because you already have so many battles over, you know, turf and drug territory. And who's supplying who.
It just seems like if you're focusing, like, for a long time, you saw, like, the focus of the drug war, where we were going into places like Mexico and Colombia and, you know, actively fighting against cartels and stuff.
Waste of money.
Like, this is hitting them so much harder than any kind of, like, military action ever could, you know. We'll just take out their market, you know. It's like the best... the best NAFTA. I don't know where I was going with that, but it's like NAFTA in reverse is what I'm trying to. So we take the market back.
How would they have to go about changing it for banks to be able to take?
You talking about if it becomes legal in all states?
Yeah,
I mean, the
federal government no longer would come in and see it as a crime.
Yeah, I think they would have to revisit that because it would become a states' right issue, which essentially is kind of what it boils down to now.
Yeah.
But when if like substantial, I mean, it's that basically it's falling. The dominoes are falling right now, like slowly.
Do you think that would the federal government do that though?
Eventually, yeah.
Yeah, they would. Okay.
You know, step one. Which it can't be very far away. It can't be is taking it off of a Schedule I narcotic.
Yeah,
you know, because like
it's
got to be. There's more and more research being able to be done, and this, you know, there's got to be some respected scientific papers that are out there that are proving, you know, medical benefits of. If not smoking it, you know, ingesting THC in some sort of
believe, yeah, like some of the shit way. That you are able to get legally and that marijuana you can't.
Yeah.
It fucking baffles me.
Yeah. Not, you know, not only that.
How many people get hooked on prescription drugs alone in the country and the damage that does and hard to get off of? This baffles me and like how marijuana is categorized. Oh. I mean, what, it's on the same level as heroin, right?
No, it's heroin's
it's above,
schedule
it's,
2 or 3. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
cuz
schedule 1 has high levels of or not high levels, but high tendency for abuse
and
dependency and no medical purpose whatsoever.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That's fucking
so,
crazy.
So it's like,
and that's all because somebody like
LSD
way back when
is on there, right? So, I mean,
yeah, yeah.
So there like weird things that are, you know,
yeah.
Which hell, I guess that'll be.
Is LSD addictive?
I think it's more that it doesn't have any medical purpose.
Hmm. And they know that for sure.
Well, they don't. it doesn't matter what they know for sure.
Didn't they try a lot with that? Didn't they do a lot of studies with that?
Probably not. Probably not. All right.
So I found this audio clip. This story on a Michigan judge.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Michigan judge erupts on woman convicted of killing boyfriend. So this is kind of like her in front of the judge, and I think he's giving her the sentence.
How did she kill the boyfriend?
Stabbed.
Like repeatedly stabbed or?
11 times.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's pretty repeated.
I think this is going to be off of a.
Qualifies as repeatedly.
This
yes.
is going to be off a Michigan news station or whatever, so. You may have a little bit.
Well, tonight we do want to take you inside the courtroom of a judge erupting from the bench when a woman convicted of killing her boyfriend shows no sign of remorse and mocks distraught family members.
Oh, no.
But he goes off, man.
But the judge wanted to make sure that's not all she'll be thinking about from behind bars.
So here he is.
If a judge could throw the book at a woman, he managed to do so today.
Fuck her right in her pussy.
Physically, but certainly by
that would be awesome.
That would be great if that guy just shows up all the time.
31-year-old Camille Gamet, the woman convicted of killing her boyfriend Marcel Hill in March. Gamet claimed it was self-defense and showed no remorse today.
At trial, the way I was portrayed, mostly everything was lies. There was a little bit of truth.
And she's a big girl, dude.
Members who got a chance to address the court today would beg to differ.
So remember the cries of help that he screamed as you plunged that knife in and out of his body.
A first-degree murder conviction by law meant Gamet, who stabbed Hill 11 times, would get life behind
bars.
You
see her right there.
Still, while family members spoke, she would only roll her eyes and laugh.
The
Jackson County Circuit Court Judge John McBain
she was
would
a bitch.
Have none of it.
And you're going to shut your mouth, or I'm going to have some duct tape put on it.
Whoa!
No duct tape would be found. A jury convicted Gamut for stabbing and beating.
Sorry, I don't have this, like...
Her lawyer argued she killed an unknown attacker in a dark room and started whacking an intruder after she woke up to glass being smashed on her head. The judge wasn't buying that and called it the worst cold-blooded murder he's ever seen. The prosecutor... ...and deliberate.
We have no choice but to send her where she will also die.
Ooh.
I can't believe she stands before you doing this.
Who is this talking?
It was like the prosecutor.
Oh, the prosecutor, okay.
Who told police in March of 2013 she hit him in the head with a hammer. The prosecutor showed the jury a number of weapons she used, including a bloody floor lamp, a frying pan, but the judge.
I've just never heard a judge do this.
Sounds like Thunderdome.
You gutted him like a fish in that apartment, too. You were relentless. You stabbed, you stabbed, you stabbed, you stabbed, you stabbed until he was dead.
A brutal act Judge McBain says she'll pay for with life in prison without parole.
I understand you have to do what you have to do.
I agree with the family. I hope you die in prison as well.
Oh, my God.
You know,
God.
If this was a death penalty state, you'd be getting the chair.
Family members say justice.
So, jeez. Yeah, I mean, that's I've never heard any audio like that from a judge acting that way in an outburst.
Oh, yeah. And you stabbed, and you stabbed, and you stabbed.
You know, I agree with the family. God. I hope you die in prison.
Well, no, I am totally picturing their apartment looking like the inside of Thunderdome, where they're just like, there's a frying pan hanging, and there's a hammer over here, and there's a chainsaw with only like a teaspoonful of gas in it on one, wall.
How do you feel about that, though? A judge losing his cool? Because they really should. To me, I don't think he should do that.
Yeah, it's...
I mean, I get it. I get it. If you have the evidence in front of you and you've had to listen to all this and the way she was acting in court towards the family, the victim's family, but it's like, you still got to keep your composure, don't you think?
I mean, at the very least, he should just say, the evidence before the court is... incontrovertible. There's no need for the jury to retire.
I don't know. I thought that was...
In all my years of judging, I've never heard before. That was my Bane impression of that.
That's a good Bane.
You feel powerful, Miss whatever your name was.
Brother. The fire's been started. Yes. Yes, brother.
But no, I mean, I agree with the point I think you were getting to, which is, I mean, you kind of feel like a judge needs to be up there and be impartial and judge the facts.
Right. I mean, it was like, hey, props to you, buddy. I mean, actually, I hear you. But fuck, let someone else say that.
That's Judge Judy. That's what that is.
It really is.
You stabbed him, and you stabbed him.
Well, maybe he was trying out for his...
good point.
Yeah, maybe he's a candidate.
Good point. That is a good point.
He's got his head in the stars.
He needed to get a little viral video out there. He made sure that there was a nice recording there that day.
So what's his name? Judge McBain sounds awesome. I don't know if it's like Roy.
You are guilty. Your house.
Can you do Bane with like a Scottish accent?
I can't. My Bane's not even that good.
I can just barely do Bane.
Well, what's the other guy? Is it?
I guess it's if you do it, it sounds like
your house, brother. That's all I got. I fucking love that character. Bane is the best fucking villain.
Well, no, I went back because somebody posted a picture, a video of Bane Cat. Have you seen that?
Yes.
And it's funny because it's just a fat cat dressed up in a respirator with the coat on and all that. And then all the quotes from the movie. But then I started watching like the best of Bane from, what is it, Dark Knight Rises? Is that the movie he's in? Yes. And yeah, I mean, I remember thinking at the time like, yeah, this voice is kind of weird. I don't know if I like this villain. But going back and seeing that, I was like, no, he was badass.
Yeah, it was a badass character. But there's another, what is it, Judge Brown, the other guy?
Judge Joe Brown.
He's got one where he's actually in court defending himself, and like he has, like, have you heard that one?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, we got to find that.
It's like he's drunk when he's in court, and he's like accusing the other judge of not like making the right ruling.
Yeah, he's like... What's up? You're out of order. I'm out of order. You're out of order.
This whole place is out of order.
Yeah.
Essentially, I mean, that's... and. I think they were talking. They got Judge Judy on TMZ.
Of course, they did
a quote about that, and she just said to Judge Joe Brown, "Is like maybe don't drink so much or something like that." It was obvious that he was drunk in court.
Oh God! But he's the thing is he's actually practicing law. Like he's functioning as a lawyer in a courtroom. Is that the situation?
I don't know if he's defending himself or if he's in there because he got arrested.
Yeah, I think it's...
was it for DUI or something?
A Republican intoxication or something like that.
Do you have the audio of the racist rant from the basketball coach? Because I know nothing about that situation.
Yeah, I can pull it up. There's several. It's a long. A recording, I believe. Yeah. So a lot of it's been cut, and then some of it is like the whole thing. But so you don't know the whole...
I just know that this guy's, what is the owner of the Clippers? Is that it?
Yeah, he owns the Clippers. He's also... His name is Doug Sterling, mm-hmm. Clippers owner, a billionaire. He also owns a lot. I think he might be the biggest, at one point, or still the biggest real estate in like Beverly Hills owner, or... Mm-hmm. All the real estate he owns. So in the past, he's been sued before by Elgin Baylor... for some racist, I don't know exactly what the case was, but treating him a certain way or something. And then there was something else to another case, but the Elgin Baylor lost the case.
He filed a suit alleging racist shit.
Yeah, basically. I don't know the details, and I'm sorry that I don't know the details.
No, that's cool.
And then another one was, it was settled out of court, so there was never a conviction on that as well, but it was some other type of matter like that. But he's also been... called like a slumlord, and how he's been quoted as saying he didn't want Mexicans and blacks living in his apartment buildings or any of his stuff like that. But basically what happened is he's this 80-year-old dude. He has an estranged wife. Mm-hmm. He's been known to bring girls to the games, always dating younger chicks. He's, like I said, he's 80. And the girl that he's dating recently is recording him, and it sounds like they're at home in mm-hmm. like the kitchen or something. But he makes these comments about how he doesn't want her, he wants her to take down all the Instagram photos that she has with African Americans.
Oh wow.
One is being Magic Johnson.
Oh nice.
And then yeah, he goes on this tirade about just basically he doesn't want him in his stadium.
Oh.
He doesn't want her bringing him to the games.
The games and... Yeah.
I don't know if I'm surprised.
I'm trying around. To find the audio.
How does he feel about the basketball team that he owns if he doesn't want black people in his stadium?
Well, that's the thing he goes off on. He's like, well, I give them homes. I give them cars. I give them all kinds of... You know, he's like, okay. So basically he's saying that they're his property.
That's what he's... I mean, that's like big white suit and a little black tie and like mint julep on the... Oh, I take care of them. I give them a place to sleep and I give them 3 meals a day.
It's wow. Yeah, it's really just bizarre. Crisp
white linen suit, big broad hat up on a nice plantation porch listening to the basketball team, the team sing the Negro Spirituals.
How does he feel about
Donald Sterling? I think I might have said Doug Sterling. It's Donald Sterling.
Roger Sterling.
Not Roger Sterling.
No, he would never act that way.
No. He would be much classier about his racism.
Oh, my God. He is so classy.
But the NBA today, around 2 o'clock, had a statement about it, and they have banned him from all NBA activities. He can't come to his own stadium. He can't have any contact with the team. I mean, no dealings at all. It's just...
It's like they can't fire him. They're just trying to make it hard on him and run him off, right? Is that the general idea of that whole...
Well, that was what he was saying. So he was fined $2.5 million. Like I said,
he's a drop in the bucket.
Lifetime ban for NBA. So he can have no... you know, he can't do anything with it. But the new commissioner of the NBA said he's going to do everything in his power and get with other owners. Because I don't know how it would work, but I guess they could kind of maybe force his hand in the sense of making it very difficult and for him, so where he end up selling. It's kind of like the girl, the woman that used to own the Cincinnati Reds.
Ah, Marge Shot.
Yeah. Let's see. Here's some audio.
I'm sorry, too. I wish I can change the skin. The color of my skin.
That isn't the issue. You missed the issue.
What's the issue?
The issue is we don't have to broadcast
anything. I'm not broadcasting anything.
So he knows he's being recorded. And
well, okay, and here's another thing that's come out, and I have not confirmed if this is true or not, but report is saying that he would ask her to record these conversations so he wouldn't forget and could go back and restate them verbatim.
It's like a comedian. If he comes up with something particularly racist and clever, he wants to be able to use that.
Okay,
again.
So
yeah.
You see what she's already brought up and what they're talking about.
I don't do anything wrong.
Nobody said you did anything wrong.
I don't do anything wrong. If we ever have any issues, it's because people call you and tell you things about me that are not true.
Why are you broadcasting?
I'm not broadcasting anything.
She's with minorities. Why?
What's wrong with minorities? What's wrong with black people?
Nothing.
What's wrong with these families?
It's like talking to an enemy. There's nothing wrong with minorities. They're fabulous.
Fabulous?
Because you're an enemy to me.
Why?
Because you don't understand.
I don't understand what.
So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of it. This is like 9 minutes they have of her audio.
She's trying to get something out of him.
He sounds like a sad old man. But there's a pitiful, sad old man.
There's a part in here where he's like, he starts saying, he's like, well, look, I can go out, I don't need you. I can go out and find another girl who will do what I say.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
And it's fucking, that's hilarious.
Which is true. I don't think there's anything wrong with him saying that.
No, absolutely.
No, but there's a culture.
What culture?
People steal certain things. Blacks steal certain things towards other groups. It's been that way historically, and it will always be that way.
But it's not that way in my heart and in my mind.
But maybe you want to adjust to the world.
But why? If the world doesn't do anything for me and they don't make me happy.
You're right. I don't want to argue with you. I don't want to argue.
I can't be racist in my heart.
And that's good. I'm living in a culture, and I have to live within the culture.
Are they not going to let that person
so
in the door?
That's the way it is. That's how I got it.
It's who he's got in the basement.
With your heart.
Okay. You
can't be flexible. You can't.
I am flexible. I understand that that's the way you were raised, and that's your culture, and I'm respectful. And
why do you have to disrespect them? Those are...
It gets better. I'm trying to see... I wish I could find that part, but yeah, there's like this audio, but you know, it's also in the state of California, I think it's illegal to record anybody without their knowledge and then and putting it out, so I don't know if that whole thing what I said earlier is true, where he knew that he was being recorded.
I mean, I'm sure he'll make the case that didn't know.
Well, it doesn't matter with the NBA because it goes to arbitration.
Yeah, you got a point.
And they have apparently what is called an NBA constitution.
Oh, nice.
And they have all things kind of set in place to... I mean, I guess this might be a first of a precedent that
might
be set.
Do you know
the
preamble to the NBA Constitution?
I don't know. I really don't know.
I got nothing yet.
We the people.
We the people of the NBA.
In order to form a more perfect
association.
Association.
A perfect rebound.
Establish justice. Perfect. Ensure domestic. ensure interstatal con.
Yeah. I'm sorry that I don't have, like, so there's better sound bites. There's one part where she's like, would you like some juice, honey? Would you like some juice? It's fucking hilarious. But yes, like I said, I mean, he's...
A spoonful of sugar to help the hate go down.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, so they've known... Like, a lot of people have always had the suspicion or known these other things about him prior to this. Mm-hmm. But in L.A., they've never given a fuck. They don't give a shit because it's a Lakers town.
Yeah.
You know, they never give a shit about the Clippers.
Yeah.
So,
now the Clippers all the jam, though.
So, when all this came out over the weekend, the players they're in the playoffs. The Clippers are in the playoffs playing the Warriors. And prior to the game, they wore their shooting jerseys inside out.
And then they
threw other, like, warm up gear and stuff in the middle of the floor in a pile and wouldn't wear them, and that kind of thing.
Gotcha.
So, it's interesting.
It's going to come out in, like, chains, like, halftime, somebody like whips another guy.
I think you're taking a little too far there. I don't think that would go over well
at all. If they did just come out in shackles, just shuffling.
They play the whole game in shackles.
Django! No, they're going to do that. Oh, if they just played Django, that theme song, that would have been amazing.
So, we'll see what happens. I mean, so he still owns the team.
Oh yeah.
But a lot of sponsors. Like, I think there was 9 sponsors that pulled out.
Which sucks because the Clippers only had 9 sponsors.
Yeah, that was everything right there. But the thing is, though, I mean, they're a contender.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, this is because they lost the last game when this was when all this came out, and they lost that game after this, and so it's interesting. We'll see what happens, if anything, or if the Clippers can, now that this is kind of put to rest for the players. they well, not really put to rest, but they don't have to worry about that asshole being there.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, sorry there, I was shaking your mic.
You were shaking all of them.
Sorry.
DJ gets intense sometimes. He starts just vibrating.
I don't know, it's pretty funny audio. And like I said, I wish I had it cut up, but it's 9 minutes and it's just him going on, and there are some funny bits in there, especially when he tells her, like, well, I'll go find one, someone that'll do what I say and will do what I want, you know.
Bitch, you are replaceable.
But I mean, that's all she is, though. I mean, because she doesn't love this guy. I mean, it's an agreement. It's
she got some pretty good shit from him.
Well, yeah, but that's all it was about anyway with her, right?
Now she's going to get her own reality show.
Oh, that's the thing, yeah.
I'm calling that now. Her and Judge McBain are both going to have reality television shows before this is over.
Yeah. Dude, I hope so. We should produce it.
I hope they're both in the same reality show. Pretty production. We could start a studio, yeah.
You think we can get our people in touch with their people?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We need to get some people.
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Work on that.
Okay. Do we know people to use as people?
Write that down. We need to get people.
Put that down right here. Let me write that down.
People. All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and give a quick little plug to our buddy Henry. And the New Metal Order is putting on their White Thrash party this Thursday. The first, we're gonna get this out before then. It's gonna be the Kickstarter. So everybody, go out and
support that.
Yes, go out and
everything
support
metal.
Sorry. And we'll put some more stuff on the Facebook side about it, and try to promote more of the things we like. And I want to thank our buddy Dave for showing us a good time last night at Casual Comedy
Show.
That was really enjoyable for a free comedy show at a local coffee shop.
Oh, it was free?
Yeah, it was totally free.
Cool. I mean, which I would support anyway. I wouldn't go just because it's free.
What was it, six comedians? Five or six?
Six, yeah.
Yeah, and they were, for the most part, rock solid. It was a great show. Enjoyed the hell out of it.
Sorry I missed that.
Thank you, Dave.
Yeah, it was good. We'll definitely go back.
I enjoy watching Dave. Dave's good.
We need to have him in here and talk about all the stuff he's doing. He's doing comedy all over the place now.
Yeah, he's a busy man. I know he's done some stuff down in Atlanta a good bit.
For sure. So you guys check out Casual Comedy when it comes back around here in Athens, and we'll be talking more about it as well. But other than that, we got, you know, AthFest coming up here in June.
Oh, yeah. I always forget about that.
That'll be the next big thing going on here in town, and hopefully we'll have some AthFest activities from the Armageddon After Party coming your way to your ear holes. We're going to get you right in there.
Yeah, we're going to penetrate those real good.
Yeah, we can get right
deep
in it.
Down to the drum.
We may be kind of like a wolf and get stuck in there for a while. Ear wolf?
Oh, okay. I was like, when do wolves crawl in ears?
No, but when wolves have sex, they get stuck because the head of the penis swells up.
Is that what's called an earwolf?
That's what we're going to be like, an earwolf penis in other people's ears.
I'm not following this connection at all.
it's an earwolf penis?
I think you're just, there's two things that have to do with dogs.
We're going
to
be like a wolf's penis in somebody's ear.
I got what you're saying. We're going to be stuck in their ear a wolf's penis.
Yes. I want to be like a duck's penis. I would, anybody, just go on the YouTubes and search duck erection. It's so worth it.
Shit.
I'm just check it out. It's worth it. It's interesting. You don't have to watch it now.
How's it worth it?
It's awesome.
You want to go see a little penis on
a
duck?
No, just trust me. YouTube, duck erection.
I think it's worth it.
I do like the name, duck erection.
Oh, that could be a good band name.
Or a good item on a menu.
Dick Eruction?
Oh, I like it.
Damn.
New alias.
Man, this think tank thing's working out.
Think tank?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. What is it? Is that what it's called? What's it called again?
Yeah, it's a think tank.
Think tank. Yeah, you need to let us know. When is that? When are you doing that?
It has to be sometime in the next, 72 days or so.
We're going to post that when John will be going to the think tank so everybody can meet up there.
Just hang around outside and surprise me.
See what happens.
He comes out of complete, total sensory deprivation to just every single Armageddon After Party fan.
No, so we'll keep you posted on that. I just come floating out, like, just glowing blue, completely nude, and just, like, a foot above the ground, and then just hover out and spread enlightenment to everybody.
I'm down with that, too. And you want a front row seat.
I want to know what happens up to the point before you get into the think tank.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what I want to know, because you've got me interested in that.
Oh, yeah.
Do you go ahead and pull one out, like, before, like, you even go down there so that...
Yeah, it seems like you're prepped
so that you don't think about it?
No, I'm going in fully loaded. God, I'm going to have as much testosterone flowing through my system as possible.
Good point, because that's totally what I would be thinking about in that fucking... If I don't pull one out before...
Yeah, no, but if you...
You guys...
I'm serious. I probably would.
You might be a little too relaxed, though, if you do that first.
Good point. Because
you'll have a dopamine surge, and you know
you probably need that going in.
I think you want serotonin surge in a situation like that, not so much dopamine.
Okay.
You just remember that.
I'll keep that in mind, yeah.
Surge your serotonin the best you can there, John.
Keep my surges under control.
This is exciting.
Yeah. Is it?
It's the most exciting
thing. Yeah, I want to know what happens. I'm intrigued about these things. I've heard of them, and now actually knowing personally someone that's going to do it.
Yeah.
I want to know what it's like. I want to do it.
All right. Well, you guys keep your faces peeled to the ArmageddonAfterParty.com.
Wait, keep it peeled to the Facebook page?
Don't peel it.
Keep your ear to the pavement and your nose to the grindstone. Keep your feet on the ground, your head in the stars.
What if I want them to peel their faces?
That's what you just told them.
I think we have a show title. Rhett wins again, that son of a bitch.
No, I was ousted on the last one. We won't talk about what the last one was. Or a possibility of what it could be. I thought it was funny, but I
thought it was funny. Don't get me wrong.
I'm not going to get you wrong.
We came to the conclusion that subtitling episode 28, Coat Hanger Abortion Music, wouldn't go over too well. It was something TJ said in the
podcast. I think it's funny.
I think it's hilarious. You guys can let us know what you think about it on the Facebook site. It's Armageddon After Party, where After Party is... one word. You can go on there and you can check out our new logos, and we got even more updated versions of that coming. I'm excited about that, so you'll keep your eyes peeled on that. And why do I keep saying that? Keep your eyes peeled.
I don't know. It
does that even make any sense?
No.
Is that a saying? Keep your eyes peeled.
I think it is.
Keep your eyes peeled. Don't peel your eyes away.
Peel your eyes away.
Don't peel. No.
Keep your eyes peeled.
Don't peel your eyes away.
Keep your eyes peeled. I think it's like squinting, right? It's like squinting at something.
You're going for the longest outro ever, aren't you?
No, not at all. 10-minute outro. Follow us on Twitter at AfterPartyPod. And we'll be putting all kinds of little tidbits on there. You guys can check out our survival tips. You're going to need help. I mean, we all need help in this world to be able to make it.
And so, you need to accept that help.
Yeah, I mean...
Don't turn it away. That's where people make a mistake. They think they can do everything on their own.
This is true.
And they think they know everything. And then you get to a situation where you're like, oh, shit.
Exactly. And that's where we come in.
Yeah, just, oh, shit.
Keep your eyes peeled is an actual phrase.
Okay.
Keep your eyes peeled.
Good job. My bad. I apologize for making fun of that.
No, you always make fun of him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't sure of it.
But myself. You did say peel your face.
I did say peel my face.
Peel your face.
To the Facebook page.
He said
something.
To the Facebook site.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. This is the worst outro ever.
I think it's pretty good, actually.
I mean, at this point, you guys know where you can find us. So just hit us up. Let us know.
Back alley of nowhere bar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, and don't forget to go check out Henry's shit.
Yeah, go out there. See Henry this Thursday. All right, we love all you survivors. Thank you for listening to us one more time from the bunker in beautiful Athens, Georgia. I'm Dick Loverboy.
And I'm the fabulous Pig Roast.
He's taking that one. I like that. He's really owning Dick Loverboy.
It's fucking badass is what it is. That's a good nickname.
By the end of the show, I can remember it. At the beginning, I'm just lost.
And I'm John.
All right, we'll see you guys. Keep surviving.